Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Tuesday, January 7th, 2020. I'm Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by Hyper. The FBI is again asking Apple to unlock two iPhones belonging to a suspected shooter. The last time this happened was following the San Bernardino shooting in 2016, when Apple publicly refused to help unlock an iPhone 5C. The current case relates to last month's shooting at the Pensacola Naval Air Station, where three people were killed. According to a report today, the FBI yesterday wrote directly to Apple asking for help unlocking two different iPhones. In the letter, the FBI said it has court permission to search the phones, but investigators have so far been unable to guess the passcodes. The FBI says that it's trying to figure out how the shooter was able to obtain the gun he used and how he was able to bring it onto the naval base. In a statement, Apple said that it was first contacted by the FBI about this case last month when it gave investigators all of the data it had access to. Apple didn't specify what data this included, but one possibility is iCloud backups of the iPhones. Although these are encrypted, Apple holds the key, which means they can decrypt the data and share it with the FBI. The FBI is now looking to see if there is anything stored locally on the iPhones that wouldn't have been in potential iCloud backups. As in the San Bernardino case, asking Apple to unlock the iPhones is likely to prove fruitless. The only way Apple would even be able to help is to do what it refused to do back then, which is create a special version of iOS with a security backdoor. Apple didn't do this in 2016, and there is virtually no chance it will do so now. In the San Bernardino case, the FBI turned to a third party who was successfully able to gain access to the iPhone. The outcome in this situation remains to be seen, but it's safe to say that Apple likely won't be helping the FBI gain access to the iPhones in question. Moving on, another set of iPhone SE2 specifications has leaked, this time offering us a closer look at the alleged design. The renders today show a frosted glass back similar to the iPhone 11 lineup, but in all other respects, the images show something similar to the iPhone 8. This matches reports that claim the new entry-level iPhone will essentially be an iPhone 8, but with a more powerful A13 chip and without 3D touch. This device has commonly been referred to as the iPhone SE2, but it is clearly more of a follow-up to the iPhone 8 than the iPhone SE. What's more likely is that Apple will brand this model as the iPhone 9, as it would logically sit between the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 10. The A13 processor is the best of the best, but it won't feature the modern design of the iPhone 10 and newer. Reports have suggested that the iPhone 9 will be announced as soon as this spring, perhaps with a starting price as low as $399. Currently, Apple sells the 64GB iPhone 8 for $449, so an even more affordable iPhone SE2 or iPhone 9 with the latest A13 processor could prove to be a tempting upgrade path for those users. We are sponsored this week by Hyper. Hyper is 9to5Mac's official CES coverage sponsor, so if you're in Las Vegas this week for the show, be sure to stop by the Hyper booth to learn more about the company's latest USB-C hubs and much more. You can find all of the details on Hyper's latest accessories at the link in the show notes below, but leading the way is the new Hyper Juice, which is the world's smallest 100-watt USB-C charger. My thanks to Hyper for supporting 9to5Mac Daily and being our official CES coverage sponsor. Rounding out today, we have quite a bit of news from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. This year, the attention seems to be primarily on HomeKit and wireless charging, with accessory makers unveiling their latest and greatest for 2020 and beyond. Belkin has announced a wide array of new charging accessories, but leading the way is a new 3-in-1 wireless charger with a built-in charging puck for the Apple Watch, a charging pad for AirPods, and a fast wireless charging stand for the iPhone. This accessory aims to fill the void left by AirPower, and it will be available in April for $110. Belkin's Wemo brand has also introduced an ultra-small Wi-Fi smart plug with HomeKit support. The focus here is on the form factor of the plug, which is designed so that it doesn't block other outlets. This makes it a better option than others on the market, as you can use multiple of the Wemo plugs on the same outlet. Other accessories introduced by Belkin this week include new USB-C power banks, a collection of GaN chargers, and much more. You can find all of the details at the link in the show notes below. Also at CES, Intel has announced that the successor to Thunderbolt 3 will arrive later this year. Details are still scarce here, but Intel says that Thunderbolt 4 will be 4 times faster than USB 3, which implies a throughput of up to 80 gigabits per second. Intel is keeping other details on Thunderbolt 4 under wraps for now, but ideally the new standard will be better for things like external graphics and SSD throughput, but we'll have to wait until later this year to find out more. Last but not least, LG has announced that it is adding support for Apple's TV app to its webOS smart TV platform. This means that owners of LG TVs will soon be able to access Apple TV Plus, iTunes content, Apple TV channels, and more without using an Apple TV or other set-top box. LG says that the Apple TV app will be available on its newest 2020 TVs, as well as models dating back to 2018 and 2019. At this point, there's no timetable on when that release will happen, with the company only promising that the Apple TV app will come sometime this year. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. Read all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com. Follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller, and be sure to come back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.